Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today we will continue in our current series of studies the precious promises of God, and once again, our theme verse from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The promise that we would like to consider today is probably one of the sweetest promises of all. It's the promise of his coming again. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a blessed reality. He said he would come the first time by prophets, and he did come. And he's coming again according to his own word, as we read in John chapter 14 and verse 3. The Lord told his disciples on this, the eve of his departure from them, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. These words were words of comfort. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the shock that the apostles would sustain when he was crucified on the cross, crucified for your sins and my sins, incidentally, and not incidentally either. That was his mission. He died for you and for me, so that when you and I realized that we were sinners, we would trust in him as our Savior and go to heaven, thanks be to a loving Savior. He knew he was going away. He knew the shock they would sustain. So he prepares them by promising them that he will come again. And this is the sweetest promise of all. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for his church and then to establish his kingdom is perhaps the greatest theme of the New Testament. The second coming of Christ is mentioned some 320 times. Now this, on the average, is one verse out of every 25 in the New Testament. 325 times, or approximately, perhaps, 320 to 325, promises that he's coming back again, and he never goes down, never leaves off, never cancels, never negates a promise. He's true. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. That will be the greatest miracle of all. His coming is promised also in the book of Acts by the angels. The Lord promises that he's coming. The angels promise that he was coming in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I'll read those scriptures. It is just as easy to read them as it is to narrate them. But ye shall receive power. The Lord speaks this on the moment of his ascension, just before he ascended. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They were angels, of course. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. He rose from the Mount of Olives. Now the angels promised, this same Jesus shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, he rose from the Mount of Olives, and the next place that our Lord Jesus Christ, his feet touched down, if I may use that term, his feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives. This is prophetically told us in the book of Zechariah, the last chapter of the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. He will touch down on the Mount of Olives, and that mount will split wide open from the east to the west, and the besieged Christians in the city of Jerusalem will have a way of escape. This will be his coming to establish his kingdom. Now, before he comes to establish his kingdom, he is coming to rapture away the church. Let's read about that in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, a very frequently read portion of Scripture at funeral services, at the committal services, showing the deceased that their loved one was going to come back again, if they knew the Lord. This is the Scripture that is so frequently read, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You see, he does not come to earth at this return. He just comes to the air. He touches down on the Mount of Olives when he comes to earth to establish his kingdom. To meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and there are going to be three audible sounds. There's going to be the shout of the Lord. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. I think it will be a shout of joy to rapture his own home to heaven. With the voice of the archangel, I suppose that will boom out like the echo chambers that we hear over the radio and over the TV, and with the trump of God. Now, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, but we shall be changed. According to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and this mortal shall put on immortality. This will be the greatest miracle of all ages. The age of grace, as we speak of it, began with a great series of miracles. The miracles of the book of Acts are a continuation of the miracles of our blessed Lord Jesus, and they were given for the specific purpose of confirming people's faith in the gospel. And many of them, when they saw these miracles, did indeed believe. Now, when the word of God was completed, and it was not completed until near the end of the first century, when John on the Isle of Patmos wrote the book of Revelation. When the word of God was completed, the miracles died out. And in this dispensation of grace, God has shut us up to the word of God. This is the dispensation of faith. And there have not been miracles recognized as such. Now, I wouldn't say there weren't miracles, but they have not been recognized as miracles. But this miracle is the miracle that ends all miracles. All the dead of past ages are going to be resurrected from the graves, given a new body, and all the living saints of God who have believed in the Lord Jesus, made him their Savior, they're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds. The greatest miracle of all ages. God is going to end this age of miracles with the greatest miracle that ever was performed. Now, so much for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his saints. Blessed hope. Oh, that is so glorious to anticipate. This world is in for a shock. The first awareness that they're going to really realize, be aware of, will be that there will be millions of people, we trust millions, will disappear. Disappear absolutely immediately, and there'll be no trace of them. The scriptures will afford the answer. They have been raptured into the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to upset people for a while. Believe me, the bus driver will disappear. The airplane pilot will disappear. There will be accidents. People will just disappear. This will be God's signal The days are short before I'm coming to reign. 7 years, as a matter of fact. Now, let's talk about the purpose of his coming in regard to the nation of Israel. We've already mentioned that he is coming to establish the kingdom of Israel. Now, I should have mentioned, and I'm remiss in not doing so, that immediately after our Lord Jesus Christ comes, when the saints are raptured into heaven, we come to the judgment seat of Christ. We must put this in chronological order. He is coming again to rapture up his saints, and at the judgment seat of Christ, their deeds will be judged, and their fitness will be established for reigning with him during that millennial reign. We have two parables in the New Testament that tells us, the parables of the pounds and the parable of the talents. This is a time of preparation. His people are being selected at the judgment seat of Christ to reign with him during the millennial period. Now back to Israel. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes and touches down on the Mount of Olives, he is coming to rescue his people. There will be the battle of Armageddon. He is coming on white horses with all the saints of God. And the wicked nations are going to be put down who are besieging Jerusalem. Many of the saints of God will die. They'll be martyrs during the 70th week of Daniel, during the Great Tribulation period. Many of those Jewish people and many of the Gentile nations who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ will die for their faith when that evil monster, the Antichrist, or rather I should say the beast, shall reign. He's called a beast, and he'll be a beast, really, a veritable beast. They will be martyred. And then before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to establish his kingdom, as he comes, they will be resurrected to reign with him. This is all contained in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. The time will not permit us to turn to it and read it in detail. But these people will be resurrected to meet our Lord Jesus Christ and to reign as he establishes his kingdom. Satan and all his forces will be put and sent to the lake of fire. Satan will not be there until 1,000 years later, I'm sorry. The beast and the false prophet will be sent to the lake of fire. I must correct myself. Now, after that 1,000 years reign, then Satan will be loosed out of his bottomless pit, and he will establish another rebellion among men, turn them against the Lord, and then fire will come down from heaven, make quick work of it this time. And Satan and his hosts will be sent to the lake of fire. Momentous days are ahead of us. Are we ready for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ? He promised that he would come back, and he's coming. God grant that we will be ready by making him our Savior now. We pray, our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you prepare our hearts for the coming of your dear Son, and that we might excite the interest of others in that coming, in Christ's name. Amen.